Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. My name is Brent Russett. I'm the senior pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church. It is my pleasure to look at some of life's challenges and then to bring you some good news in the morning. This program is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries. If you want to look us up on the internet or to re-listen to this program, you can find us at goodnewsinthemorning.ca. Last Sunday, if you were able to listen to Good News in the Morning, we started off by talking about the book of Isaiah. This morning, I want to look at another of the great passages in that book. It is the vision and call of Isaiah. It is one of those incredible views of God that we see in Scripture, but it's also one of those passages of Scripture that is challenging to understand. Isaiah's day job was a chronicler for the king. One of his main professional accomplishments was that he chronicled the life of and exploits of King Uzziah. He did the same for King Hezekiah. And at the same time, Isaiah was a prophet. He had already had many words from the Lord. He had already proclaimed the word of God. He spoke on behalf of God. And with that as our background, come with me to Isaiah chapter 6, and we're going to spend our time in this chapter. Isaiah chapter 6, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation today, and it says this: "It was the year that King Uzziah died, that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having six wings. With two wings they covered their eyes, with two wings they covered their feet, and with two wings they flew. They were calling out to each other, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory.' Their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. Then I said, 'It's all over. I am doomed, for I am a sinful man, and I have filthy lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies.' Well, then one of the seraphims flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, 'See, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven.' Then I heard the Lord asking, 'Whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us?' I said, 'Here am I, send me.' And he said, 'Yes, go and say to this people, listen carefully, but do not understand. Watch closely, but learn nothing. Harden the hearts of these people. Plug their ears and shut their eyes. That way they will not see with their eyes, nor hear with their ears, nor understand with their hearts, and turn to me for healing.'" Well, the first part of this passage, it's spectacular. The second part of this passage is frustrating to try to understand. If I could spend the whole time talking about Isaiah's vision of God, I would. But I want to take the whole passage and see what's going on in this whole section of Scripture. I do want to say this, though. God never gives a spiritual experience for entertainment value. God always has a purpose in what he does. He showed this vision of himself to Isaiah for a reason. And he allowed Isaiah to record this vision of himself for us for a reason. The question is, what was God up to? See, Isaiah had already had many words from God. He heard from God. It seemed like God spoke to him on a regular basis. So why does God give him this vision? And why does God give him this experience? It would seem to me that, well, this experience of God is not a reward for what Isaiah has done. It's preparation for what he will do. The experience with God prepares Isaiah for the future. I've known a lot of people who spend a lot of time seeking after some experience with God. They will run from this meeting to that program in order that they might experience something from God. And I believe that we should experience something from God from time to time. It may come in the form of answered prayer or a sense of how God is leading or a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. It may come in the form of visions or dreams or miracles. From time to time, we should experience God in a way that is out of the ordinary. But these experiences are not given for your entertainment value. They are most often given to move us from one stage in our spiritual life to another. They are often given to deepen and confirm our faith for the journey ahead. Seeking after an experience is not the way to go. Seeking after Him, God Himself, is always the way to go. Saying to God, I'm willing to move forward. I'm willing to follow you. I want all that you have for me. I want all of you. That is the way to go. When you do that, you set the sails of your spiritual life so that when the Spirit of God blows, you are ready to catch it and move with Him. Isaiah has this experience with God. He sees the mighty angels of God. He sees the grandeur of God. He sees the holiness of God. He hears the angels sing, holy, holy, holy. And then he says, oh, that's a cool experience. What's for lunch? Not. You see, when he saw God, he also saw himself in relationship to God. There are some of you who attend church, and you know that from time to time, God shows up. The service ends, and it's really easy to say, what's next? And forget everything that God says to you. When you experience God, make sure you stay quiet long enough to hear all God wants to say to you. We're going to take some time and listen to Dallas Holm singing about this vision of Isaiah. I saw the Lord.
Then a silence fell, like none I'd ever known. I stood among the millions, I stood there all alone. His face was like the sun, his eyes were like the sea, his voice was like the thunder rolling through eternity. And I saw the Lord. He was high and lifted up, and rightfully adored. And I saw the Lord. Then from sleep awaking, I looked into the night, the darkness overtaken by a bright and shining light. Oh, I couldn't understand it, I couldn't reason how. Then my eyes beheld it, I wasn't dreaming. Oh,
Isaiah sees the Lord. He sees the angels. He hears the booming voice of God. And this is what he says. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5, "Then I said, it's all over. I'm doomed. I'm a sinful man. I have filthy lips. I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's army." In the first five chapters, Isaiah spent a lot of time talking about how bad the people he lived amongst were. They were oppressive, they were unjust, they did wrong, they mocked God. But his first response in seeing God was, "I am doomed. I'm a sinful man. I have filthy lips." Here you have a prophet of God who speaks for God, and then he sees himself in relationship to God, and he is undone. Whenever I see someone who is really judgmental of other people, I see someone who has never profoundly encountered the living God. As you move through this book, you're going to see a change in Isaiah. For the next little while in this book, you're going to see Isaiah pronounce God's judgments against the enemies of Israel. You're also going to see him give God's word to a disobedient people. But unlike the first few chapters, you are going to see less and less of him scolding Israel himself. In this experience with God, he recognizes that the difference between the people he has been scolding and himself are minute when compared to a holy God. I know that some people won't like this, but if you were to put your righteousness, your goodness, against the goodness of a pimp or a prostitute or a drug dealer or a child abuser, and then compare you and them to God, the difference may be significant in this world, but it's insignificant compared to God. That's why the Bible says our righteousness is like filthy rags. There are some people who think so highly of themselves that they think, well, why wouldn't God love me? But if you think that, you haven't glimpsed the holiness of God. For Isaiah was extremely good in comparison to the people around him. He heard from God. He listened to God. He followed God. He did what God said. But when he saw God, he said, "It's all over. I am doomed. I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips. I live among a people of filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies." This, by the way, is why we need Jesus. Jesus takes our sin and he gives us his righteousness, so that when God looks at you, he sees you as righteous. But it is the righteousness that is not your own. It has been bought with a price. Oh, I still believe in right and wrong. And there are a lot of people in this world who celebrate the fact that they do wrong. They boast about their drunken benders and their sexual exploits over the weekend. They boast about stealing from the government and from insurance companies and from the person who was not bright enough to see what was going on. And while I believe what they are doing is wrong, I don't think that I'm any better than they, because I've seen the Lord. The difference between me and them is minute when I compare myself to God. They need Jesus. I need Jesus. We all need Jesus. It's pretty hard to judge others when you recognize that we're in the same boat. So Isaiah saw who he was. And then verse 6 says, "Then one of the seraphims flew to him, an angel, with a burning coal that he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips," Isaiah said, "with it, and said, 'See, this coal has touched your lips. Your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven.'" I don't want to go into all that happened in that exchange other than to say, from that point on, Isaiah ministered out of an understanding that he was forgiven. That is the great thing about the gospel of Jesus. You can be just like Isaiah and be proclaimed forgiven. Jesus comes along and says, "You are forgiven because of what I have done on the cross for you. I have touched your heart with my death and my resurrection. You are forgiven." Verse 8, "Then I heard the Lord asking, 'Whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us?' I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" Now, we remember that Isaiah was already a prophet. He had already been speaking the word of God. He was already called, but now he's called again. I know that there are a number of you who are trying to figure out your calling. What should I do in life? You would love to get a vision that says, "Go do this," but these kind of visions for calling are rare, but God will communicate to you in a manner that is designed just for you. You can trust him to do that. You may have to wait on it. What I also know, though, is that there are a number of you who are listening that know what you're called to do right now. I think that's awesome, and I think that that's good. What I want you to note is, though, that there are many times when God comes along and confirms your call, or deepens your call, or changes your call. Remember, Isaiah's day job was a chronicler for the king, but he was also a prophet who spoke for God. Now God is deepening the call of the prophet in his life. Not only is it God's way to renew or deepen or change a person's call, but this seems to be something that he is doing more and more at this particular time in history. We have had people from our church, the church that I pastor, retire and use the skills that they learned working for the government to help Christian hospitals in India or Christian camps in Ontario. We've had people call from high-tech companies in Ottawa to set up organizations that help kids in danger in Thailand or to work with university students in Ottawa. I want you to know that the fastest area of growth in terms of missionaries being sent to other countries from Canada is from amongst the baby boomer generation. God has a way of deepening or changing a person's call. And I want you to know that if God does that, and if God changes a call, that you need to respond as well, just like Isaiah did. He said, "Here am I, send me." We're going to hear from Jill Henwood, music "Here Am I, Lord," with her crystal clear voice, reminding us of the response we need to have to God.
I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. I will break their hearts of stone, give them hearts for love alone. I will speak my words to them. Whom shall I send? Finest bread I will provide, till their hearts be satisfied. I will give my life to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart.
Isaiah 6, verses 9 and 10. He said, "Go and tell this people, be ever hearing but never understanding, be ever seeing but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused, make their ears dull, and close their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed." I read this passage and I think, you are proclaiming, maybe even causing these people's hearts to be hard and their eyes to be closed. What's up with that? How does that square with 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 that says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to a knowledge of repentance." God, I thought you wanted everybody to know you. Then what's up with making these people's hearts calloused? Well, I will tell you that I don't pretend to understand all of this. I don't know how all of these things go together. There are two things that I would have you note, though. The Lord is talking about a people who have ignored him and rebelled against him for a couple of centuries. I think that plays into it. I will also say that this is not an obscure passage buried in the Old Testament, but it's one of those passages in Isaiah that Jesus quotes. Matthew chapter 13, verse 10 says, his disciples came to him and says, well, why do you use parables when you talk to people? He replied, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little they understand, they will have taken away from them. That is why I use these parables. For they look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really understand. This fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah that says, when you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear, and they have closed their eyes so that their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Jesus is asked, why do you speak in parables? And he quotes the passage from Isaiah. I think the key words of Jesus are in verse 12. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But to those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. The more you listen to Jesus, the more you will see and know and understand. The more you ignore Jesus, the less you will understand. And you may even lose the understanding that you do have. If I understand the spiritual principle right, both in Isaiah's time and when people had been ignoring what God had said for a long time, and in Jesus' time when people would not listen to Jesus, it seems to be saying that ignoring what God has to say to you over a long period of time produces hardened hearts and blind eyes and dull hearing. And if they will not turn to God, God will not heal them. If they would turn to God, God would heal them, but they will not because they're spiritually dull. You're blessed because you have spiritual insight. But I know when you are praying for people and when I'm praying for people, especially people who have known the truth but are not walking in it, the way to pray is to pray that God would have mercy. For God has to bring a measure of healing before they can even have a chance to respond to the truth and even get what is said to them. They need to have their spiritual eyes enhanced. I don't pretend to understand all of this, but what I do know is that we shouldn't take our spiritual insight for granted. If you know who Jesus is, if you can see the truth that Scripture brings to us, if you can understand your need for the death and resurrection of Jesus, then you are blessed. What is obvious to you is not obvious to many. Give thanks for what you can see. This morning we looked on how God brings us experiences to prepare us for what is to come. We've looked at when we see God, we can't judge others because we are in the same boat that they are. We've looked at how God sometimes deepens and broadens and changes the call in our life. We've looked at how we need to be sure not to take spiritual insight for granted. I suspect that in there somewhere is something that God wants to say to you. Take what he has said. Grab a hold of it. Don't lose it. Pray into it. For not only was God at work in Isaiah's life, he's also at work in yours. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Lord, I pray that we would take what you're saying to us and allow it to sink deeply in our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, thank you for your words of encouragement in keeping us in your prayers. Keeping this program on the air continues to be a work of faith. If you can help with that, please make your checks payable to Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario. Or you can give online by going to goodnewsinthemorning.ca. My prayer for you is that may you know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart. And may our Heavenly Father surround you with his constant and abiding and accompanying love. We're going to see this morning out by listening to a group called A Cappella. And they're going to sing a song called To Him Who Sits on the Throne.
To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb and to the Lamb be praised. And honor and glory and power
to him who sits on the throne
and to the Lamb
and to the Lamb
be praise and honor and glory and power
forever and ever.
Forever and ever.
Forever.
sits on the throne
and to the Lamb
be praise and honor and glory and power
to Him who sits on the throne,
sits on the throne
and to the Lamb.
In the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio.